Welcome to ECB's weekly sermon podcast. ECB is an international church in Bangkok, Thailand, with dozens of nationalities worshiping together. We invite you to connect with us from wherever you are through our website, ecb.asia, or our mobile app. And now we pray that you are blessed by this week's sermon.
We're in this series called Servants Devoted to God. We're well underway in this series. And I hope it's been very helpful for your journey of loving God and serving Him with devotion. The moment Jesus saved us, not only did we become children of God, we also became servants for the purpose of building God's kingdom on earth in partnership with Him. In Jesus' life and ministry, the kingdom of God was a central theme. And you and I, as servants devoted to God, have been called now to make the kingdom of God also the central theme for our life and ministry. And as we have already learned, being part of this kingdom comes with a new culture. The culture of the kingdom of God is vastly different from the worldly culture that we used to be part of. The way of being and thinking and behaving in the culture of the kingdom is just completely different. So we need to adjust to that culture. We need to learn this new way of being, thinking, and behaving. And one of the things that we need to learn is the power of the kingdom of God, the driving force behind the expansion of God's kingdom. And as we will learn today, the power of the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Ever since the Holy Spirit was poured out on a group of 120 believers in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the news about Jesus starts spreading like wildfire. It happened first in Jerusalem, but soon it went out to the other parts of Israel. And soon after, the gospel was shared with countries surrounding Israel. And from there, it took a flight and it impacted the world. And today, this group of 120 believers 2,000 years ago has grown into a worldwide movement of billions of people who are gathered in tens of millions of local churches all around the world. That's powerful. The kingdom of God is expanding. But what has caused this movement? What is causing this movement? Well, the Holy Spirit. He is the power of the kingdom. He is the one who has caused the movement of the kingdom and is causing the movement of the kingdom. And for a proper introduction to the Holy Spirit in the larger story of God, we need to turn to page 1. Of the Bible. It's there where we are being introduced to the Holy Spirit. This is how the Word of God begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Before creation, the Holy Spirit was already there. What was He doing? Well, He was hovering over the waters. He was hovering over that what was still dark and empty and formless. But He was ready to speak life and beauty into all of that. Psalm 33 says that the heavens and the earth were created by God's Ruach. God's breath. Ruach is the Hebrew word for breath, but exactly the same word is being used for spirit, like here in Genesis 1 and in different places. It was through God's breath that the world was created. So when God began to speak and He said, let there be light and let there be a heavens and earth and land and sea and nature and animals and seasons and people, so it came to be, as we know from the rest of the story of Genesis 1. And 2, and the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in that work of creation. The Holy Spirit was from the very start involved. He had a prominent role in creating light and life and order in places of darkness, emptiness, and chaos. And the Holy Spirit never stopped doing so. When you follow the story of redemption throughout the Old Testament, the story of God saving his people back to him because sin entered the world and people were confronted with, again, darkness and emptiness and chaos. Throughout that story of redemption, the Holy Spirit continued to play a prominent role in this new creation work. The Holy Spirit empowered certain people for specific assignments in this redemptive work that God was undertaking. We read about leaders like Moses and David and Samson, and prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel and Eliza, who were empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak truth to God's people, but also to perform miracles and signs, all for the sake of God wanting them to return to him. He wanted to redeem them. And again, the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in creating new life, new light, new order in that what had become dark and empty and chaotic. And it was during this time of redemption where God started to enlarge the scale, where a life, a game-changing element came into play. Not only did God want his Holy Spirit on a few people for specific assignments, no. God wanted all people to have the Holy Spirit, which is why through the prophet Joel, this is what God promised. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That's a game changer. God's strategy now changed into, hold on, not a few people. No. Everyone whom I'm saving to myself, I will pour out the Spirit on them. That changes the perspective on God's kingdom building, the Holy Spirit for all. And as you probably know, this promise speaks into our era, the era after the day of Pentecost, the era after Jesus came to launch the building of God's kingdom on earth. And now I've brought Jesus into the picture. Look at what happened to Jesus right before he began his ministry on earth. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Apparently, for Jesus to undertake his kingdom building ministry, he first needed to receive the Holy Spirit. And a chapter later in Luke 4, when Jesus is quoting the words of the prophet Isaiah, he fills us in on what this actually means. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, says Jesus, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Where did Jesus get his anointing and his power from to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and to do all these signs and miracles? From the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of the kingdom of God. Do you see the essential role that the Holy Spirit has been playing from the beginning and is playing until this very age in God's strategy for building his kingdom? We need to understand that building the kingdom of God does not rely on our expertise, on our intellect, on our skill, no matter how gifted we are. It relies on the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to undertake his kingdom building ministry, you and I certainly need the Holy Spirit for our kingdom building ministry. Today I want to look with you at the early church in the book of Acts to see what it means, what the power of the Holy Spirit really means also for our day and age. But before we go there, I want to give you an illustration that I believe will help us understand how this works. The power of the Spirit empowering us And I want to show you this picture. If you come from a windy country, like my country, you know what this is. You know what this is? Windmills, right? Or wind turbines. Yeah, Thailand has a few fields, so if you want to see one or many with your own eyes, it's just an hour and a half drive to visit one of those. I'm not sure why you would do that, but hey, if you want to see one. You know how a windmill works? A windmill harnesses the wind, and the wind allows the windmill to produce power. Here's how it works. When the blades of a windmill are rightly positioned towards the wind, the blades will begin to turn, which will cause the rotor to turn, which will set in motion the generator that is, I'm not an engineer, but there's a generator apparently in this windmill construction, and that will generate power to give away to the grid. You know what a windmill field is capable of doing? It's capable of generating power to power up cities and nations, to set alight cities and nations, and to cause life and business and all of that to happen. That's the picture that I want to give you, the illustration of thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us. And I promise I will get back to this illustration at the end of this sermon. Empowered by the Spirit. If you wonder, hey, where did I hear this phrase before? Well, you walk by it every Sunday morning up to this worship center. If you're in Jubilee Center, you won't see it. But if you're normally here, you will see it because it's one of the foundations of ECB. Everything we do here is empowered by the Spirit. Why have we put that on the wall? Because we believe it is true. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will not accomplish a thing. And today I want to share with you three insights from the early church in the book of Acts to help us understand and live out what it is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here's the first insight I want to share with you. The Holy Spirit helps us overcome our reservations. What we see happening on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is that the 120 people who were in the upper room first had zero reservations in sharing the message of Jesus with the people on the streets in Jerusalem. There were many, many nations gathered there on the day of Pentecost. They were celebrating the festival of Shavuot, which was an existing Jewish celebration. So people from all kinds of nations were there, and hey, they heard the news about Jesus in their own language because the Holy Spirit had gifted these people to speak in tongues. Boldly, they were proclaiming the news of Jesus. And at a certain point, Peter, the Apostle Peter, had taken the microphone. He had preached his best sermon ever. He did an altar call, and 3,000 people responded and then came to faith in Jesus on that day. What had happened to these people who just a few weeks before were so scared, were so afraid to be seen with Jesus because the Jewish leaders and the public opinion was strongly opposed against Jesus, afraid? What happened to this guy, Peter, who just a few weeks before had publicly renounced knowing Jesus? What had happened to these people that all of a sudden they were bold witnesses, no longer afraid? Well, the Holy Spirit. That is what had happened to these people, just as Jesus had told them a few days before the day of Pentecost. Jesus had told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Where they had felt anxious and fearful before, that was all gone after they had received the Holy Spirit. There was no way that they could not speak about Jesus. And they became powerful witnesses on that day in Jerusalem. Not just on that day. The Holy Spirit continued to empower them, like we read in Acts chapter 4. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Bold and impactful witnessing is a mark of the power of the Holy Spirit on the life of believers. In order to build the kingdom of God, the news about the kingdom of God needs to go out. And we are the designated ones, the called ones, to communicate that message. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we'll make lousy witnesses. If the 120 in the upper room would not have had the Holy Spirit, they would probably still today be in that upper room, afraid as they were for their reputation of being arrested. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I make lousy witnesses, if we will witness at all, afraid as we are of our reputation, the opinion of others, or maybe we're just afraid because we don't know what to say. But we have been given the Spirit, who is not a spirit of timidity or fear. He is a spirit of power, helping us to be bold and impactful witnesses to build God's kingdom on earth. Here's the second insight about being empowered by the Holy Spirit that we get from the book of Acts, the early church. The Holy Spirit enables kingdom impact beyond our limitations. You know, we are capable people. You know that, right? Do you know that? We're very capable people. Psalm 8 says that God created us. He made us just a little bit lower than the angels. So apparently God wants us to be able, and He wants us to accomplish things. But God also wants us to know that we have our limitations, especially when it involves the expansion of His kingdom. Listen to these words that God spoke through the prophet Zechariah. It's where God said, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." God spoke these words to a man called Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah around the time when the people of Israel came back from their exile in Babylon. And Zerubbabel had to lead a massive building project. He led the rebuilding project of the temple in Jerusalem. But before beginning his project management task, this huge, immense assignment, God wanted him to know, "Zerubbabel, this project will not succeed because of your smarts, your capabilities, your skills, your expertise, the fact that you're a really good leader. No. Your role is very important, Zerubbabel, don't get me wrong. But it will only succeed by my Spirit." And these words God is speaking to you and me. He's saying, "Guys, you have a very important role in building my kingdom on earth. But it's not your smart, your skill, your intellect, your expertise. It is by my Spirit. If it's not, the mission will fail. If it is, the mission will succeed." Here's an important lesson to take away from these words. Do not push for things that only the Holy Spirit is capable of. And one of the areas that we have to apply this to is in wanting to see our loved ones coming to faith in Jesus. Of course, salvation is important. Salvation is where it all begins. I mean, if you're not saved, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. But can we be honest here? As we so badly want to see our loved ones coming to know Jesus the way we know Jesus, every once in a while at least, we throw in some of our tactics, don't we? A little bit of massaging here, maybe some manipulation, some pressure here and there. Try to talk them into a relationship with Jesus. It's what I tried with a friend of mine who I met in college 30 years ago. He was and is not a believer, and I was and I am. And he was very open to the conversation about God and about faith and about Jesus. So we talked a lot during the first years of our friendship about Jesus. But he was not making a lot of progress, at least not fast enough to my liking. And I got annoyed. So I upped my game. I threw in some more powerful arguments. I challenged him on his lifestyle. I tried the harsh way. I tried the nice way. Nothing worked, okay? It's because I try to push for things that only the Holy Spirit is capable of. You cannot talk your child, your parents, your friend, your colleague, your spouse into faith in Jesus. It doesn't work like that. What your child, your parent, your spouse, your friend, whomever you're doing life with needs is conviction. And conviction is something that only the Holy Spirit is able to give and should be giving. Not you, not me. As Jesus was explaining to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come, this is one of the things that he said about the Spirit in John 16. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Salvation involves conviction of hearts about sin. And as I mentioned, this is something that only the Holy Spirit can do. The more you and I will try to convict our loved one, the more condemned they feel. Let me say that again. The more you and I will try to convict our loved ones, the more they will feel condemned. Don't confuse your bold and impactful witnessing for talking your friend into a relationship with Jesus. Do the following. Use your story. Share your life. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with, but then hands off. You get on your knees, you cover it in prayer, and you wait on the Holy Spirit while you are doing life and giving your story and testimony. Salvation and conviction, the other way around. Conviction and salvation is not your work, not my work. It is the Holy Spirit's work. Where we have the joy of ministering to those we love, sharing Jesus with them, the results are totally His. Okay? By the way, this is not the only area where the Holy Spirit enables impact beyond our limitations. The Holy Spirit also gives us abilities that are beyond our natural skills and knowledge and expertise. We read this from the early onset in Acts chapter 2. Early church, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And a couple of chapters later in Acts chapter 5, we get more detail of what this looked like. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Wow, this sounds a lot like the ministry that Jesus did, right? He preached the message of the kingdom of God, but he also performed miracles and signs, healing the sick and casting out demons and whatnot. And now all of this is happening with Jesus not being around? Yeah. Happening indeed. You know why? Because Jesus delegated the authority to use the power of the kingdom to his disciples, to his followers. Read about it in Matthew 10, right before Jesus was sending his disciples on a mission trip. These are the instructions that he gave them. As you go, proclaim this message. Preach the gospel. The kingdom of heaven has come near. But also heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus delegated the authority to use his power to his disciples. And the book of Acts is a witness to that. While preaching the message of the kingdom of God that has come, the apostles were healing the sick, casting out demons. And there are even two occasions, Peter and Paul, both of them had the privilege of raising the dead to life. And friends, this is not just for the early church in the book of Acts. Jesus has delegated to us the authority to use his power to build God's kingdom on earth. This is why here at ECB, we do see people get healed. This is why here at ECB, we offer deliverance, helping people to be set free from the demonic oppression of evil spirits. It's because we believe that Jesus has delegated his authority to us, and we intend on using it. Let me say there is a lot that we do not understand about Jesus' authority. We need to remember that it's delegated authority, and God always operates on his terms. So we don't understand why one time God heals, and other times he allows someone to pass away. But we do understand a couple of things. God always knows perfectly well what he is doing, whether it's through healing or through allowing someone to pass and be with him. We do believe and know and see that God works with miracles and signs in our day and age. And we have been given the authority to use the power of the kingdom for our ministry of building God's kingdom here and now. Let me make a quick sidestep here. Have you ever wondered why God does miracles? I mean, it's cool that he does, right? We all enjoy, you know, hearing and seeing stories of people getting healed and people delivered from demons and all of that. But our entertainment is not the purpose for God to actually do those miracles and signs. Hear me, please. Whenever God does a miracle, he is reversing the impact of sin on creation. Before sin entered the world, there were no demons that harassed us. There was no sickness. There was no death. But now, because sin has entered the world, the system is broken, and we are confronted with all those things that we don't like, right? So whenever God does a miracle, he is reversing the impact of sin, and effectively, he is allowing his kingdom to break in. So whether it is a sinner repenting from his sin, coming to faith in Jesus, or someone healing from cancer, or someone being set free from the demonic oppression of evil spirits, God does that to reverse the impact. And effectively, we can say, hey, the kingdom has come in that place, in that person, in that situation. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit in all of this? Well, as I already shared, the Holy Spirit gives us abilities that often we don't even understand because they go beyond our limitations. And the Apostle Paul speaks about these abilities in a couple of places in the New Testament, like here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So when you're a follower of Jesus, you have received at least one, but probably more, spiritual gifts. Gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. Not for yourself, as we read. It's for the common good. It's to build up the church. It's to edify others. It's to build God's kingdom here on earth. And there are different gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. Apparently, the Holy Spirit wants us to work together so that all the gifts that Paul speaks about are represented in our building of the kingdom of God. So what is our role in getting these gifts? Well, I know that in many cultures, it's not really appropriate to ask for gifts, right? In my culture, you just wait what you get for your birthday and you say thank you even when you don't like the gift. That's how we do things. But in kingdom culture, it's different. This is what Paul says two chapters later. Follow the way of love, yes. It's most important. And eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. What's our role in getting these gifts? Desire them. Pursue them. Boldly ask for them. Open yourself up to them. Asking Holy Spirit, tell me more. Explain me more. How do I use this? The Holy Spirit wants you and me to discover the gifts that He has given us, to understand them, and to use them in His power, but for the sake of building His kingdom. If you're wondering about your spiritual gifts, maybe you've never wondered this. I've included a few links to online spiritual gifts tests. You can take one of those or all of them. It's not perfect, I know, but at least it gives you some insights into spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. Please take away this from this insight. We have been authorized and gifted to use the power of God's kingdom. And like with all other areas of discipleship, this area is developmental. It goes from hearing about it to learning and then to doing. So if this is a new aspect of discipleship for you, and maybe you even feel taken aback a little bit by it, can I encourage you, don't walk away from it. Don't dismiss it, but open yourself. Open yourself to growing, hearing about it, learning about it, doing it. We're doing this together as a church, seeking what the Holy Spirit has for us, empowering us to build God's kingdom on earth. One more insight that we get about being empowered by the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit reshapes our inclinations. A good idea may be a good idea, but it may not be the Holy Spirit's idea. So we're journeying with Jesus. There may be lots of things that we think is fitting really well in that journey and in our ministry. But we need to discern this. There may be times where the Holy Spirit says, hold on, you're going off track. I'm going to intervene now. And I'm going to change, reshape your inclinations. This is what Paul and his ministry team experienced as they were traveling through Minor Asia. This is the story that we read in Acts chapter 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, a lot of Ia, right? They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul and his team had made a plan to go and preach in a place called, an area called Bithynia, which is in modern-day Turkey. We don't know what strategy they used or how they came up with the plan of going there, but hey, it's Paul, okay? So he probably had thought about it for a long time. They had some prayer gatherings, and they really thought it was a good idea to go to Bithynia. It made sense to them. Well, it didn't make sense to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had a different idea. He wanted them to go to Macedonia, completely different place. Today, even a completely different country. It's in Greece. So the Holy Spirit had to intervene. The Holy Spirit had to change the plan and the inclinations. So literally, on the border of Bithynia, he stopped them. He gave Paul a vision about this new destination. And that's where they had to go. Obediently, they followed that inclination that the Holy Spirit had given. Loved ones, not everything that seems right or feels right is of the Holy Spirit. We do well to carefully discern if that what is in front of us is really a God idea or just an idea that we came up with ourselves. I shared with you at the beginning that after knowing that the Lord is transitioning us out of Bangkok, we really thought He would bring us back to the Netherlands. It made a lot of sense to us. I mean, my mother's health situation, Honneke's aging parents, a country that is in need of Jesus and probably could use 4 or 5 other people to help with that, friends who had been asking us for a longer time, could you please come back and do what you do in Bangkok and now do it here? And even doors were opening to some exciting ministry opportunities in the Netherlands in September, October. It made a lot of sense to us to go back home. And I was even in well-advanced conversations with a ministry organization in the Netherlands. So mid-October, I flew there thinking this is the final round of conversations. After that, we sign a contract. And before I jumped on a plane to Amsterdam, we were basically praising God for His timing. Say, wow, Lord, thank you. You make us aware in August of this, and it's only October, and you're already telling us where to go next summer. Praise you, Lord. We're kind of looking for houses and schools for our girls. So I got on the airplane, landed in Amsterdam, and literally, the moment of touching down, my soul was deeply unsettled, and I had no idea what that was. And it didn't go away that whole week of being there. And when I entered the conversation with the board of this ministry organization, we were 15 minutes in, and we both knew, this is not going to work. This is not it. Unsettling. Wondering, Lord, and I came back and I said to Honneke, I don't get it. I'm confused. Aren't you? The Lord has made us aware. It made so much sense to us. So why? Why not? Knowing now what God has done over the past 2-3 months, making our paths cross with global disciples, moving us to the U.S., now I know that it was the Holy Spirit who caused my soul to be deeply unsettled because He wanted me to be aware, Renee, it's not the Netherlands. It's something else. Keep looking for me. I'm doing something else. It's what the Holy Spirit does. Friends, can I suggest this? If you truly believe that God's ways and His thoughts are higher than your ways and thoughts, if you truly believe that God in all things is working for your good and for His glory, can I then suggest that as servants devoted to God, we hold our agendas loosely and we allow the Holy Spirit to make a course correction whenever He desires to do so? That is the attitude of adjustability, the attitude of flexibility that we need as servants devoted to God, trusting that the Holy Spirit knows better than you do and I do where to effectively use us for the advancement of His kingdom, even if it's just for a season. Hold your agenda loosely and allow the Holy Spirit to intervene, to course correct, whenever He desires to do so. I promised to get back to the illustration of the windmills. I hope you had not forgotten about the windmills. When the blades of a windmill are rightly positioned towards the wind, some really powerful things happen. The blades start to turn, the rotor turns with it, the generator is activated, and this field of windmills powers up cities and nations to bring light and power to those places. But when a windmill is not rightly positioned towards the wind, nothing happens. It will just be a long stick in the ground, okay? Not so pretty. Windmills are not so pretty. But windmills have an inbuilt mechanism. So whenever the wind is picking up, that mechanism causes the rotor to turn towards the wind until the moment where the blades really catch it and start to turn. And the rotor begins to turn. The generator starts to generate power. And the impact starts to happen. That's us, friends. Empowered by the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is ready. He is ready to empower you and me. But we need to be rightly positioned towards Him. We need to catch wind, okay? And the only way to do that is to position ourselves, to attune ourselves to the Holy Spirit. For our mind and our heart and our soul, for our blades to begin to turn, and then our rotor and then the generator. And from that place, we collectively, we can light up a city. We can light up a country. We can light up the world. We can bring light and life and order in places where currently there is still darkness and emptiness and chaos. How about that? You want to be involved in that movement? Then attune yourself to the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit the way you seek God the Father. Engage in intimacy with the Holy Spirit the way you do with Jesus. Build in those moments of careful listening in your times with God so that you can hear from the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit boldly, Lord, what is it? What kind of gifts do you have for me? And how do you want me to use them for the building of your kingdom? Position yourself towards the Holy Spirit. Attune yourself to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit makes you feel uncomfortable because you do not have a theological category for Him yet, can I encourage you, open yourself. Ask in your life group. Ask your pastors and your leaders about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indispensable for a holy life, and He is indispensable for leading a life of power as servants devoted to God, changing cities, nations of the world. Can I ask you to be quiet yourself for a couple of moments, and then I will pray. Holy Spirit, you are here with us, in us. And it seems that we're only scratching the surface in our knowing and understanding of you, Holy Spirit. But we want more. More of you. More of your power. We acknowledge, Holy Spirit, that without you, we will not accomplish much. But with you, literally the sky is the limit. Not for our sake, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. So Holy Spirit, as we will sing a song of invitation to you, I pray that you will encounter us in new and fresh ways. And I especially ask this for those among us here, brothers and sisters, who sense reluctance in engaging with you. But whatever has caused that, I ask you, would you gently break in, remove any resistance there may be, and show yourself, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you empower your church, ECB? Lord, it's not just a statement on the wall that we are empowered by you. No, we have seen you move in powerful ways in us and through us. And we will see more of that. But we cling to you. We need you. So Holy Spirit, more of you for your church ECB, for the churches here in Bangkok and in Thailand, Lord, for ministries that are taking place to win this nation back to you. You, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, rain down. We love you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the ECB Sermon Podcast. Whether near or far, if you are looking for community or are in need of prayer, we welcome you to engage by sending us an email to office@ecb.asia. If God is calling you to support our ministries, you will find giving options on our website. And remember to join us next week. God bless you.